American Christian.
This is Pete Cooper.
And Dr. David Nichols.
And we are Heart of the Father Ministries, and you are tuned in to the Apostolic Training Institute American Christian episode 42.
Really?
We're on 42, Doc. I'm so glad that you're back.
I'm glad to be back.
Yeah, I was riding that horse alone, and it's always better when you're here.
Yeah, I know. You're taking shots. People were ambushing you.
No, it was good.
You did well.
Yeah. Well, we were talking about where do we go now that we've kind of come out of the Azusa Street letters. We've come out of talking about different revivals of the past hundreds of years ago. But we're going to go today into one of the first revivals that had happened, the start of the revival that comes really in Acts, which is really preceded by Luke 24. We're going to go there, right? So if you have the word with you, put your finger in at Luke 24, because we're going to look at
that. So we're jumping all the way back from 1906, 1907, 1908. We're jumping backwards now to about 30 AD, approximately around in there.
But why do we want to do that?
Because everything we do has to be based on the Word. Oh,
there you go.
Experience is great, but it's got to be in the Word.
It's right. These are the things. You know, and the other thing that we had talked about, too, is so yesterday, or the podcast 41 was talking about being ready. Are you ready? So we kind of talked a little bit this morning about that portion about being ready includes a thing called tarrying.
Exactly. And you know what pops into my mind with that?
What is it?
It's this, that some people may not be ready. We ask that question and we kind of assume everybody's ready.
Right.
But you know what? The people, even after Jesus died on the cross, went to the whipping post, these guys saw all of that. He raised from the dead. He appeared to them in the room. Here I am. Grab hold of me. I'm not a spook.
Right.
I'm a real body, but I'm raised from the dead.
Hallelujah.
Still, he needed to say to them what he said in Luke 24. In fact, this was the guys on the Emmaus Road whom the text says did not believe at first. So they had unbelief.
Right.
They saw all of that, and they still needed to be told by Jesus. You would think they would be ready, wouldn't you, by then?
Well,
you saw the resurrected Christ and grabbed hold of his hands with your hands?
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to do that personally. But they did.
Right. And this is all lining up with Scripture because they knew what the prophets had said about the coming Messiah.
That's
so
right.
It's not like this thing, all of this stuff is out of some kind of out of context. It's actually in context.
Exactly. So that's what he does here in verse 46 of Luke 24. Jesus says, thus it is written. And here we go. It's got to be in the Word.
Okay.
Jesus is our example. Thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations beginning at Jerusalem. Now, in those two verses is the whole summation of the two volumes, Luke and Acts. There it is right there in two verses. Jesus just sums it up. Here you go.
As he was very good at doing, summing things up.
Oh, my word. Yeah. And then he says, you are witnesses of these things. Now, that is a prophetic statement by Jesus.
Ooh, I like that.
Because are these guys really going to do it or are they not? I think it's still up in the air here in Luke 24.
Well, we haven't gotten to plan B yet. And it's 2021, and we still don't have plan B.
Right. Jesus didn't give him plan B.
And he's not giving you a plan B.
Ooh.
And he's not giving me a plan
B. Nor
me.
Right. Right.
Okay.
So here's what Jesus says. Behold, verse 49. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high.
You think that's encrypted to them?
Probably. But here's the deal. If you're ready, you said, are you ready? If you're ready, then go and preach remission of sins in his name from all to all nations beginning in Jerusalem. If you're not ready, and they weren't, if you're not ready, then go to Jerusalem and tarry until you are ready.
Oh. Hey, that's good. Hey, I like that.
I like
There's
it, too.
There's something in this for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Right. So that's what Jesus tells them. He knew they weren't ready, in other words. He knew. They didn't know.
Right.
Okay, so then you jump over to Acts. Remember, this is a two-volume work. Volume one is the Gospel of Luke. Volume two is the Book of Acts.
Right.
And you go to the day of Pentecost. They tarry, however, for 10 days before that, before this great and awesome day. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. Mm. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all,
yes,
not a minority, not 80%, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance.
Why does God do it to all of them? Why not a portion?
And think of this. This is 120 people sitting here.
Right.
This isn't just the 12.
Wasn't right. And I think that when you read this, when you're kind of coming, cruising through this, you know, at however many words per minute you read, right, you kind of lax up on the fact that there's 120 people in this room.
At 10 times the 12.
10 times the 12.
Likely the 70 from Luke chapter 10, or most of them, you know,
right.
And the 12, of course.
Right.
Right.
So we keep pushing it off like it's the apostles. We keep pushing it off like there hasn't been anybody else but the 12, and it's the 12 and Jesus walking around, right? But there are all these other people that are coming on the scene right now.
If Azusa Street teaches us anything, it teaches us a number of things,
yeah,
but that everybody is included in this.
Right.
It later on, as Peter's going to preach, the young, the old, the men, the women, that they just list off here the tongues that are being spoken and understood by that whole part of the world, all around the Mediterranean, every nation people knew of,
and that's
that
what was
heard of.
And Azusa Street was the same way.
Exactly.
Germans and Chinese,
right,
and Tibetan and
Zulu.
Zulu, they were, yeah. Who?
In Los Angeles, California.
And there's a witness there,
dude,
to know it.
Right.
Right?
A guy that knows Zulu is there.
In the 1900s, he came on a boat.
Okay, but Pete, here's another question.
Yeah, what is it?
Out of verse 4.
Okay.
What is the big deal with speaking in tongues? Why do they... I get the fire. I get the unity. I get the rushing wind. That's the physical phenomenon of the breath of God, the wind of God, the pneuma, the Holy Spirit.
Right.
Okay, but why the speaking in tongues?
It's got to be a confounding thing, really, for
the human intellect.
It is.
That's,
you know,
that's part of it.
Right?
Yeah.
It would be really hard to never have heard the language to be able to bring forth the phonetic, right, of how to speak a language.
For example, the language of the Parthians and the Medes and the Elamites.
Right. Are these lost languages today?
Today, some of them are.
Right.
The Judea, Cappadocia. I mean, Judea, that'd be Hebrew. These guys mostly were Aramaic speakers. So all of a sudden now some of them are speaking in Hebrew.
Right.
And Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, they're speaking Greek, they're speaking Latin, they're speaking all kinds of tribal dialects that are around in these countries.
Right. And how many different dialects do we know today? How many are there on the planet? There's
thousands.
Like 60,000.
Yeah, thousands.
Thousands and thousands. So when somebody begins to speak in tongues, which you and I have evidenced, we've participated, we've been in that arena, we don't know the language that someone is speaking.
Most of the time.
Most of the time, I think we don't. I don't know that I've laid hands on anybody and they started speaking Italian. I went, hey, that sounds like Italian.
I think I've heard Greek spoken a number of times. I think I've spoken it myself.
Well, you're
ancient Greek, which isn't spoken anymore.
Right, and you have an ear to know that.
Right.
Where most people probably wouldn't. So I guess my point in saying that is don't make small of the progress that when you move into being baptized into tongues, it is not always a fluid, but that there are syllables, there are partials, there are a sentence, a word combination that can be happening there.
Right.
So...
But the key thing is it has to bypass your rational intellect. You are not producing it. You are a vessel of the Holy Spirit of God.
Bypassing the intellectual.
And in addition to that, to answer my own question, it is a sign that the age to come has broken in.
Yeah.
Now notice, I mean, this is a big deal.
It is a big deal.
Because Jesus comes in Matthew chapter 4, he stands up and he says, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And everybody's like, yeah, we know about the kingdom of heaven, but Jesus, when the kingdom comes, I mean, there's going to be a guy here kicking butt on the Romans, and we're gonna take care of business. And Jesus said, no, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's time to repent. In other words, the age to come is broken in upon this present age. Not completely so as to overthrow all of the governmental orders or to, seat Jesus on a throne in Jerusalem in place of Herod. That's what Herod was worried about, remember? So now, though, Jesus spends his whole ministry, 3.5 years, doing all this stuff, establishing the kingdom, not in the concreteness of chariots and soldiers and weapons, physical weapons, but he totally dislodges the kingdom of Satan.
Right.
By casting out demons and healing the sick and forgiving sins and teaching from heaven to earth what God the Father wants people to know, the Sermon on the Mount, the other teachings. But then it's not done, that invasion, that download of the age to come into this present age is not done until the day of Pentecost. And the sign, and here's the thing. You want to talk about God's sense of humor and how much he loves us.
The love of God really is powerful at this point.
He loves us so much that he's going to take us up and involve us into the solution to the world's problem, which is sin, sickness, disease, demonization, to name a few things. Okay.
Yes.
Those are the main things. But God isn't just going to come in and go, all right, devil, I know you messed this all up and you deceived him and all, so boom, and he just kicks the devil out of the universe, throws him to hell. Now, he is going to do that at the end. But right now, the age to come has to break in on this present age, just as Jesus said it was and just as Jesus showed us. And he's involving us human beings. This is why tongues is important, because a tongue yielded to the Holy Spirit and bypassing the rational intellect is declaring the glory of God. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, some of these tongues are tongues of angels.
Right.
Men and of angels. Some of these heavenly languages that had never been spoken on earth. So that breaks forth on earth on the day of Pentecost in these 120 people. That's very significant.
It is. Nothing really starts with huge overtake. I mean, everything kind of starts small. It's an idea, you know. It's a vision that starts unfolding. And for some reason, today we want it. We do want it to happen more aggressively than what it is. But I would say that it is moving very aggressively, even today.
Right.
It's just might not be moving aggressively in your church or in your neighborhood or in your region right now, but it will.
Amen.
So this whole thing starts, right? Old Testament, prophets, like how long? I mean, there were hundreds of years that came by. Even the 400 years of silence, Doc.
Right, and even the prophets did some of this stuff. I mean, they healed the sick. They raised the dead. Remember the guy that was thrown in Elisha's tomb?
Yeah. Boom,
he stands up, raised from the dead. I mean, how about that?
That is so crazy to me.
I know.
There's a song right now, a popular one right now, Out of the Grave.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is. That's big. So, again, coming.
So the age to come broke in.
Right.
And here are these people speaking in all these languages, and the crowd goes, this is weird, man. They're drunk.
Right. And who would say that?
Unbelievers.
The rationally, right?
Yeah.
They didn't
let their bypass come around their rational intellect.
Right.
No, they didn't. But Peter stands up and says, no, they're not drunk. And here's another thing from Azusa Street. What should we do? Look at this. The Spirit is poured out on all flesh. If you judge from what Israel brought forward out of the Old Testament to the time of Jesus,
yeah,
you would think anybody that's going to do anything that really matters is going to be a man, a male between ages maybe 40 and on up.
Why would that be? Why?
Well, that's who the Pharisees were, the Sadducees, the priests, the high priest, man. He was an old dude. Usually.
Mm.
And so the age to come breaks in. And Peter says from Joel, this is going to be poured out on all flesh. The sons and daughters are going to prophesy. Little kids are going to do this. And they are today. And they have been since
we've been
then.
Reading the testimony of it.
Oh, yeah. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. The men servants, the maid servants. He cuts across the socioeconomic.
Yeah, he does.
Boundaries.
Yeah.
And Azusa Street showed this so well with the leader being a black man.
Yeah.
In 1906. This wasn't 2006. This was 1906.
Right.
There's a lot of racial segregation still going on in the United States then. And William Seymour is anointed by God, sent by God, obeys God, and becomes the leader of this worldwide movement. To me, that's one of the most incredible things about it.
Right.
And then, so they're in Los Angeles, so Asian people, Chinese people, Hispanics, whites,
Czechs.
Native Americans, yeah,
Germans,
Eastern Europeans.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, boom, they start showing up. It really is another Pentecost. But based on the first one, friend, American Christian, if you're not ready, don't be discouraged. You can get ready by tarrying.
Ah, there it is.
There it is.
Doc, we just walked into the room.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Boy, I like that. So what does it look like to tarry? I mean, in 2021, what does that look like in America?
You
right?
go to prayer meetings. You seek God on at your house on your own. You take out the word. You lay out. You read scripture. You lay out before the Lord. You say, Lord, here I am. I'm a vessel. Flow in me. Flow through me. Cover me. Endue me with power from on high.
So there's going to have to be some things that, as Americans, that we have to like. We're going to have to set aside. You have to put your devices down.
You mean like Netflix?
Well, Netflix. Mm-hmm. You've got. Roku, you've got smart TVs, you've got Sirius FM.
6 hours on Facebook.
6 hours on Facebook. Gaming. We're into the summertime now.
Oh.
Like, we've got longer days, right? Right. We've got things to do. We've got places to go, people to see. We're not cooped up in our... But the Terry right now, in coming into the personal, right, this personal Pentecost, can you tarry and be still long enough to allow God to, as these scriptures say, will you be able to have a dream or see a vision? And we were talking like, would God withhold that from you if you asked him for it? In your in the sincerity of it, right?
Jesus answered that in the Gospel of John. Of course he wouldn't withhold
that. And it's not in like you're in a panic mode. Don't move into the panic mode. Everything's falling off the rails. Yeah, he does come into those places too. But look, we're talking about getting ready, which means that there's been a foundation that's been previously laid for you to set aside time to come into that now. It's time to come into that.
And think for a minute of who this is. Because look, American Christian, let's face it, you and I both, we have lived in a celebrity culture with Hollywood and with all the weirdness, the internet, and everything Pete just mentioned here. Our whole lives, superstars and rock stars and political stars and all this stuff is so different from the culture that these guys lived in. That experienced the day of Pentecost.
Right.
But think about who this is. Oh, God, that said to them, it was Jesus. The one who kept every promise he made.
Hallelujah.
The one who said, I'm going to lay down my life and I'm going to take it back up again. And then he did. And then he stood before them. He said, you guys now go tarry in the city until you're endued with power. I think we should listen to that man.
Yeah.
Personally. That's just me.
But, right. And how many times did, watching The Chosen in one of the episodes where John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, he asked the question to Jesus, how come you're always running off? After you do something great and wonderful, you're always running away. Why are you always running away? And Jesus says to him, because I need solitude.
Yeah.
And is that not a tarry, right? You could call that to be a tarry that Jesus is going to the Father. Look, what's next? What's coming next? How I have to be with him. In my own mind, I'm thinking about, look, I just need time alone with my dad right now. Without everybody else crowding in, desiring his attention, wanting to be vying for position or, who's going to get to be with them. But that you set that time aside, that's intentional. Mm-hmm. And when you make it intentional, I think that's when he's coming.
And it's time that you spend that you can't spend on something else.
What do you mean by that?
Like playing with your toys.
You mean
guys?
Oh,
well,
like
girls
I want to be around
toys too, but theirs aren't as expensive as ours, usually.
Well, I've heard hunting guys and fishing guys say, "Hey, look, my church is out in the woods or out on the lake, and I spend my time alone with God out there." But like you're saying,
and that's cool.
Well, it's cool, but is it biblical?
Is
it like, is it the way that it should be?
Actually, the time the guys were out on the lake in scriptures, they were freaked out because they were in storm, and Jesus came rolling up. Hey, guys, how you doing?
That's an interesting point, isn't it? Yeah, they're never just out there fishing, having a good time, and sharing.
Jesus doesn't walk on the water then. No, it's in the storm. Jeez. Hey, you guys filled out yet?
Watch this. Yeah, did you get your limit? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Oh, this is encouraging.
So where does this lead? Where do we go? So that's one thing.
Right.
And then he fills us and he anoints us and he covers us with the Holy Spirit, baptizes, immerses us, dips us in the Holy Spirit. Just like water baptism, except now it's the Holy Spirit baptism.
I really like the way that you explain that. Just the whole idea, because we think it's like some kind of an episode or a thing to receive internally, but really it is, as you're saying, being immersed in the Holy Spirit. Because you know, we've talked a little bit about the fact that, hey, yeah, when you are born again, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, does come in, but there's something more.
Right.
And we should we be chasing after more, do you think? Is more like a is it a biblical to chase after more? Is it the right thing to do? Is it?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes and yes.
Oh, I like that. That's okay. A good answer. Yes and yes.
So then here's another thing. Here's another place where it could lead in chapter 10 of Acts where Peter, of course, has this vision, and he goes to Cornelius' household because they called for him. Cornelius had a vision. Okay, so once this starts to happen, the Holy Spirit gets outpoured, the age to come breaks in, what starts happening? Visions, dreams, words, revelations, prophecies, speaking in tongues. The supernatural world breaks open on the natural world. Mm. That's what the coming of the age to come is right now. Not in physical temples or physical structures,
brick and mortar,
or armies or navies, or that's another whole subject for another day. We're in two kingdoms at the same time as Christians, but the age to come broke in here. So Peter shows up at Cornelius and he has this huge revelation of this vision. Now here's a point I want to make about that.
Okay,
so he's sitting there waiting for the food to be prepared. He's probably hungry. Says he's hungry in verse 10 of Acts chapter 10. And his voice comes to, first he sees the sheet coming down. There were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And the voice comes and says, contrary to his doctrine and the way he's been taught from Scripture.
Oh, boy.
From a boy on up.
Right.
Here's Peter.
Right.
Rise, Peter. Kill and eat.
He pushes back, though.
He does.
He pushes back.
Not so, Lord. I've never eaten anything common or unclean. I mean, what has he got on there? He's got, what, raccoons catfish swimming around on that sheet? I mean, I don't know. Those are unclean animals according to the law of Moses.
Right.
And so then the voice comes to him the second time. What God has cleansed, you must not call common. This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven. It took that level of revelation to get Peter to the place where he could accept Gentiles as his equals, as people that are worthy of ministry. And it's in this chapter, then, that Gentiles, against all expectation of the people that went there, get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Look in verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word.
How many?
All.
All those who heard the word.
But it's interesting, right? Because God is using something that Peter is familiar with. And he does make the draw, he does make the connection between unclean and Gentile.
Exactly. That's God what all Jews thought about Gentiles. They're unclean.
Unclean.
Common creatures that are, they're not in the covenant. They're, all that.
Right.
And here, as far as Peter knows, the best thing God can do now, once Jesus has died on the cross and rose from the dead, is give his Holy Spirit to somebody.
Right.
So here he is finding himself. He might be listening to himself talk here, as far as I know. I don't know. But the Holy Spirit falls. And look at verse 45. Those of the circumcision who believed, these were Jewish believers,
right,
were astonished. They weren't just amazed. They didn't just, have a little eyebrow raise. Okay. They were astonished as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also.
The definition of this Greek word says, it says to throw out of position, to displace, to throw one out of his mind or drive one out of his senses.
Right? I like it.
Yeah, so what is that Greek, this Greek word here?
Existemi.
Existemi.
Right.
Existemi.
Wow, to be astonished.
Yeah. Like, have you ever been...
The worldview is like being cracked.
Oh, it's like being blown apart. That is...
As far as one specific thing, the racial identity of a person.
Whoa.
Jews, Gentiles. That's Whoa. How their world was divided. I mean, they didn't care if they were black or white or brown or green. They didn't care. Gentile or a Gentile. Wow. Well, now Azusa Street comes along.
Right.
And you got racial segregation in the United States. You got great, even though it's, what is it? It's like 50 years after the Civil War.
Yeah.
Or 40. It's still, I mean, it was bad. And you got all these people of all the races showing up there. And God just goes, boom.
And it's not the rich.
It's not the rich.
It's people that have been called to Azusa Street from other parts of the country.
Oh.
So that you've got all of that. Think about the fact that people are even hearing our voice right now. Because I'm telling you, because you're hearing our voice, you're getting set up. There's a great setup.
So here's the point. The great answer to racism,
yeah,
which is this big, huge topic right now in America,
it is.
Whatever you think about that, the great answer to it is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Right?
Yeah, yeah. That ain't coming out of D.C.
No. These guys were astonished. And then what was it that persuaded them? They say, well, you know, I see tongues of fire on them all the wind.
They were singing songs. Because they were clapping their hands.
Yeah, they had an organ.
They jumped
up
and down.
Hammond B3.
No, they
heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. There it is again. That persuaded these Jews who didn't want to believe Gentiles could even have this.
Right. And Peter saw this, even in, there's the setup of the woman at the well.
Yeah.
And she's a Samaritan.
Right.
And Jesus.
Wrong race for the Jews.
Wrong race. And he reveals to her that he's the Messiah.
Right.
And Peter was just like, I don't know. Right. When you're watching The Chosen, Peter's like, you told her? You told her?
What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing? You told her? And so Peter knew it was on in that particular episode of The Chosen. He was like, okay, he's starting to tell people he's the Messiah, but he hasn't told the Jews he's the Messiah.
Mm.
There's the signs that are following Christ.
Right.
And as we saw in the 70,
right,
there are things that were happening. And you know that out of that 70, they were telling people, you know what happened when we went into this town? I'm not even kidding you. This guy raised up from the dead.
Hallelujah.
These demons ran.
On this race thing, though.
Yeah, come on.
Move back to that.
Yeah.
If you're a white person listening to me right now, maybe what you need is to hear some black people speak in tongues. Or some Chinese people. Or some Eastern Europeans. Or some South Americans. Or if you're black, listen to me right now. You need to hear some white people speak in tongues, because this levels it out.
Wow, man. I like that. That was a good motion. Leveling.
Yeah.
Leveling.
That's God's plan.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Well, one more here.
Okay, let's go to Acts 19.
Yeah, Acts 19.
There you go.
So where do we go from Azusa Street? Well, they did all this. I mean, they did. And so Acts 19, as you know, Paul the Apostle comes through the upper countries in verse 1. He comes to Ephesus. He finds some disciples. Okay, they're not heathen. They're not unbelievers. They're not
right?
Whatever, they're disciples. And he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So this one is for people who have believed Jesus but have not received the power and glory and authority of the Holy Spirit. As you know, Paul says, verse 3, into what then were you baptized? So they said, into John's baptism. And he said, John indeed baptized the baptism of repentance, saying to the people they should believe on him, on the Christ. So these, please understand, these people had believed on Jesus as the Christ.
Right.
But they were not endued with power from on high. That's why Luke writes it into the narrative. It wouldn't make any sense to his whole forward flow of his narrative if that were not the case.
Right.
And so when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. They were baptized with John's baptism. Now they get baptized in water in the name of Jesus. And then Paul lays his hands on them, and the Holy Spirit didn't indwell them. He came upon them.
Yeah, that's a good
You will
word.
Be endued with power from on high, 24:49. Remember Luke.
Right.
Came upon them, and they spoke with tongues. There it is again, and prophesied.
And who's Paul, right?
Yeah.
Like, go back into Paul's
history.
Paul
was a racist. He was a murderer. He was a bad dude.
And here's this guy.
Transformed by his encounter with Jesus, filled with the Holy Ghost. Now he's headed out to the world.
Right. And we don't even hear about Paul's baptism in the Holy Ghost.
Not specifically.
Right? You know what I mean? But we know that the evidence is there. And now we see in 19, like he is doing the do.
He says, I speak in tongues more than you Corinthians do. And they did a lot.
So how do we... Okay, so look, because, you know, we're kind of going a little long today. But I think that the setup is, okay, so are you ready? Okay, there's the Terry, we've looked at Acts, what's happened on in there, and now we've got, okay, so we've addressed a little bit about racism, and now we're looking at people that are believers, but they haven't been baptized in the Holy Ghost. How do I go about, like what kind of a conversation do I have with people that I know are followers of Jesus, but I'm pretty sure they aren't speaking in tongues. Or maybe they do, but they haven't said anything to me about it.
Ask them.
What?
Talk to them.
Just open the door?
Yeah.
Have you ever
Be
heard?
Bold.
Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed?
That's what Paul asked.
That's a good question.
Yeah, it is.
You can start field testing that question in and around coworkers and in your circles. Hey, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? What are you talking about? Acts chapter 19.
Yeah.
That's a good place to start.
Did you speak in tongues? Did you prophesy? Did you start giving words of knowledge?
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah.
Did you start having visions and dreams?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are all good questions.
Yeah.
All right. So.
So.
There's the assignment.
There it is.
I know you're, you know.
I give out assignments.
You do give out assignments. That's a good
But you just gave it. You gave the assignment.
That's good.
So, yeah. So, really. The what now is really these things that we have led out of, starting with Luke 24:49, right into the book of Acts, that this is it.
Right.
Here's how I want to wrap this up.
All right.
God is ready. Ever since Acts chapter 2, God showed himself he was ready. They tarried. He's ready. If you're not ready, you can get ready. If you're not ready, no, this isn't about, oh, you vile thing, you know.
Right.
It's not like that. God loves you. He wants to give you this as a gift.
Right.
And it's, he's ready, and when you're ready, your readiness is going to come together.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit's going to flow.
God wants to give you something so that you can give something.
Yeah.
Right?
See,
because that's the end of the train right there.
That's right.
And then you can give them something. You can lay hands on the sick. You can lay hands on people so that they can receive the
Holy Spirit. How is this thing going to go out from Jerusalem and be preached in all the world?
Right.
By people like you, American Christian, in your world. So we release you into it right now. Hallelujah. By the word of God. We declare by the word of God that this Holy Spirit baptism is for you.
Yes.
If you've already received it, we declare you are empowered to speak, to act, to love, to put this in front of people every place you go. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.